When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. It's great to have you on our show today. Today, we're going to be talking about the wellness in all areas of your life, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, in your, you know, in your health, how you're doing, in all areas. So I'm wondering, how are you doing? You know, if you're watching this show today, how are you feeling today? Are you feeling vibrant, alive, alert? You're feeling like you could conquer the world? Or are you kind of feeling down? You're kind of feeling heavy? Well, most of us, when we wake up in the morning, normally you feel great. You feel vibrant. You feel alive. So what happens to us when we start to feel that heaviness, that maybe even for some of you, depression? For some of you, you know, you're in a place where you know you want to change. Maybe you want to lose weight. Maybe you want to have more energy. Maybe you want to just feel better about yourself. What has to happen for that to shift? Well, quite frankly, there is a wellness revolution taking place in the country today. And if you're part of it, awesome. You know, you're learning, you're growing, you're evolving, you're having, you know, probably a good time with it. Actually, it's not that heavy if you find some amazing maybe coaches to work with and individuals or groups to work with that can, you know, support what your effort is. But for some of you, it is feeling heavy. For some of you, it's feeling like this is going to be a chore. It's going to be really difficult. So today is the day that I'm going to help you change that mindset around. I have a host, co-host, but actually he's a guest today on my show. And he's written a new book, and we're going to be talking about it. But the book's going to help you with maybe feeling light about creating wellness in your life, right? Feeling joy, feeling happiness around it. Wouldn't that be interesting? All right, well, I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'm going to have my guest with us, and we're going to talk about wellness and how you can have it in your life. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster, and I have my very special guest, Mark Rausch. Mark, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Thank you, Ken. I'm happy to be here.
So for those of you that don't know Mark, he's an author, he's a life coach, he's an entrepreneur, he's dedicated to guiding people towards personal transformation. He has decades of experience as an executive leadership in corporate America. He has successfully led programs that unlock human and organizational potential. Beyond his professional career, Mark founded a social media startup and shepherd it to a successful buyout, which is no easy deal. And he's written screenplays. He's kind of an all-around amazing person. Mark, it's great to have you on the show, man.
Thank you, Ken. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. You know, you got this new book we're going to be talking about. But I want to know a little bit about your journey. You know, you went from the corporate world to, you know, basically entrepreneurship. What was your journey to writing this book? What's your journey there?
A long journey. You know, ever since I graduated from college, I've always been involved in, you know, having a family. My corporate career, starting out with GE, getting into continuous improvement, business transformation, and crisscrossing the country with different companies, different jobs. But what I also had in parallel were side hustles, because I was very committed to pursuing my life purpose, the passions in life. And my corporate career was fulfilling, but it wasn't my passion. So I needed that in my life. So for 20 years, as you mentioned in the beginning, I wrote comedic screenplays. And I had an agent, won a full-year scholarship to film school that I didn't take advantage of because I had just gotten a promotion at GE. And that was a difficult life choice, but it was the right choice at the time. And then after the screenwriting, as a side hustle, I launched a life coaching business. I got certified around that. And then I had a crazy notion to launch a social media platform with the intent to topple Facebook. Facebook was a little bit resistant to being toppled, but we, for 4 years, I had a co-founder and we bootstrapped it, built a fully functioning, you know, website, social media app, got a patent, had a really great experience, a very differentiated site. And then at the end of that, after 4 years, we sold it. So we had a nice positive outcome. But even after all of that, having a thriving career, a wonderful family, healthy, thank goodness, I wasn't happy, wasn't fulfilled. There was always something missing. And I thought there has to be more to life than this. I'm tired of always striving and not living the moment and being happy with, you know, my existence. So I thought, you know, wouldn't it be interesting to write a book about well-being and learn how to eclipse that gaping hole between my life and inspired living? And if I could learn how to do that, you know, I would be able to help others do the same. And I always loved creative writing. So I started to get enthusiastic about that project. But then I also thought, you know, this would be a wonderful legacy for my children. I could involve them in the process of writing the book and get some of their ideas in there. They help edit it and proofread it and give a lot of input. And long after I was gone, they could always tap into my wisdom. And that was very comforting. So it was all upside to go down that path. And what I found very quickly as I was starting to unravel what is wellness that and apply it to my life, that it truly had a transformative impact on my happiness, fulfillment, and overall life satisfaction. So a wonderful experience.
Yeah. Well, let's start there. So how do you define wellness?
Very simply, to me, it's the state of being healthy in mind, body, and spirit based on what you can control. And it's never perfect, but the more you move forward in that direction, you feel happier, more fulfilled, healthier. You have more positive energy in your life. Again, it's all upside. So that's how I would define it.
You know, I go to the grocery stores, you do too, you know, and I see the population. I see so many people that are obese and so many people that look, you know, they're just not healthy. I mean, they just aren't. And, you know, my heart goes out to them. I mean, I've been life coach for 30 years and, you know, I always think, wow, how can I help these people more? What do you think? Why do you think people run on autopilot and they don't take care of themselves?
Because it's hard. You know, the status quo is easier. And sometimes the perception of the difficulty or pain of changing is greater than the pain you may feel in the moment. And you may not really have that vision for a better, more vibrant life. And you may not know how to get there. It seems so far out of reach. And that's something in my book, The Wellness Ethic, that I start off with in the early part is to really focus on how can you make change last. So I'll devote several chapters on adopting change in your life, because there are statistics that show that if someone had a life-threatening illness, let's say a heart episode, you know, heart attack or something along those lines, or a stroke, and their doctors are advising them, you know, you really have to quit smoking. You have to start eating healthier. You have to lose weight. You have to start exercising. Just do these basic things and you're going to increase your longevity and your quality of life significantly. It would seem like it's a binary decision. You either do it or you don't, and you'd want to do it, of course. Your life is on the line. But the statistics show that the vast majority of people do not make those life changes in all those areas. And even most of them won't even make one of those changes last long term. Is that change can be difficult.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing that I think my audience needs to hear and get. And if you're one of the if you're out there and you going, you know what, I really do want to change. I really do want to live differently. I do want to have more energy and vitality. I want to feel better about myself. If you're one of those people, I want to tell you this. It's hard. You know this. It's hard being overweight. It's hard not fitting into your clothes. It's hard not having energy. It's very difficult to do a life that way. And it's also hard, like Mark just said, to turn it around. But you get a choice, you know. You can be hard on one side or the other. But here's the good news. If you step onto the side that says, I'm gonna make improvements in my life, I'm gonna do whatever it takes, I'm going to step into courage, I'm going to step into the confidence, I'm going to be persistent no matter what until I get it, what happens at the end of that is it gets easy. It's easy to maintain good health. It's very easy, but you got to get there. And I think a lot of people miss that. You know, when I woke up in 1992, I heard this little voice that said, you got to feel the pain, make the change. You got to feel the pain to make the change. Because I, like most people, were chasing feeling good. You know, overeating, oversexing, overdrugging, overshopping, over whatever, right? I just want to feel good. And I think a lot of people get stuck in that feel good place, but they don't realize hard is a choice. You get hard on one side, you get hard on the other. But on the one side, eventually it gets easier. On the other side, it gets worse and worse. So it really is a choice. There's seven pillars of wellness that you speak about in your book. You want to talk a little bit about those?
Absolutely. It starts off with what you would probably expect, mind, body, and spirit. And for me, from my perspective, that's your foundation. So if you are healthy in all three, based on what you can control, it's never perfect. Everyone's always going to have challenges in those areas. But if you really do focus on getting the most out of that, that gives you positive energy to engage in life. And then once you have that foundation, then you go into the next elements of your well-being, and you can start with relationships. Science shows, and you probably know this intuitively, the healthier, more loving your relationships are, the happier, healthier you're going to be. You're going to feel more secure, more at peace. You're going to definitely feel more joy. So relationships are vital to a healthy, long-living life. Loneliness can be toxic. And again, the science shows that. Then beyond that, your personal passions, whether they're hobbies or, for me, some of the side hustles, writing screenplays or writing books, you know, the things that you would do even if you weren't paid to do. And at times it can be, you know, watching streaming TV, going hiking, you know, whatever, and enjoying nature, whatever you enjoy personally to engage in that. Then there is your profession. And with your career, while you're working, during your working years, you probably spend 40 to 50% of your waking hours commuting to work or actually working. And for some people, it's a little bit more than that. So if you're going to spend basically half your life at work, you may as well do everything possible to align it to your life purpose as best as you can. Again, it's never perfect, to try to find as much meaning and joy in your work to really make a difference on your own terms. And there's a lot of ways to do that that I get into in the book. And then lastly, what I call lifestyle maintenance. That could be financial well-being, because the reality is money doesn't make you happy. And again, the science shows that, but it really can enable your well-being. So financial wellness is important. And then what I call in the book, the annoying stuff, whether that's, you know, mowing your yard or cleaning your house, things that you have to do to kind of keep your life flowing. You want to get the most out of that as well. So when all of those elements that I rattled through are working together in harmony, that's how you thrive. But again, part of wellness is understanding that it's never going to be perfect. You're never going to have the perfect balance. But what I show in the book, The Wellness Ethic, is if you build healthy habits, that will sustain you even during the rough periods and help you emerge out of those challenging times where maybe work is too demanding or you have personal issues, where you can emerge from that, you know, even stronger and continue to thrive in your life.
Yeah, that's awesome, Mark. Well, listen, we're going to take a little deeper dive into the book when we get back. And, you know, what I want to focus on when I get back from this break is simplicity. I found that simplicity seems to work very well when I can simplify things rather than overcomplicate things in my life. I know you talk about that in the book, so we're going to talk about that when we get back from the break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'm speaking with author Mark Reinisch, and we're talking about his book here, The Wellness Epic, Ethic, E-T-H-I-C, which, by the way, you can find on Amazon or any of the great bookstores out there. Mark, simplicity. You talk about that in the book. Simplicity wins. Why does it win?
Because when you overcomplicate things, you are usually overwhelmed. You don't know where to start. Or when you do start at the first sign of trouble, you oftentimes will cave in and lose your resolve because you think the journey forward is just so darn difficult. It's easier just to stop than to, you know, work through your challenges. So keeping it simple gives you a clear compass, gives you confidence that I can take the next step and then the next step after that. So that's a very big part of how I approach the wellness ethic. I use the concept called the 80-20 rule, also known as the Pareto principle, where it takes, what it says is that if you focus on 20% of the most impactful actions, you can get 80% of the results. So as an example, if you focused on the 20% most important tenets of spirituality and truly adopt them in your life, you'll get 80% of the benefits of being spiritual.
Well, you also talk about in the book, Mark, the thriving in the unpredictable world. By the way, I want to put the book up on the screen so people can see it. It's called The Wellness Ethic, and you can get this, again, on Amazon and places like that. Let's talk about thriving in this crazy, mixed-up world. Man, the media has been crazy lately. You know what? It always has a little craziness to it, but it seems like we're getting more and more polarized. And, you look around, lots going on in this world. And, you know, a lot of people are dissatisfied. So how do we thrive in this world when it's so unpredictable?
A lot of ways. And that really is the theme of the book. How do you thrive in an unpredictable world, which my subtitle then adds, where stupid things can happen. So I have some fun with it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I would start with understanding there are two things in your life you can control. You can't control all that disruption, all the chaos, what other people may do, but you can always control your thoughts, your mindset in the moment, and you can certainly control your response to what happens in your life. So with the wellness ethic, what I focus on, which I was talking about previously, is build a solid foundation around mind, body, and spirit. So you have that positive energy, that reserve. So when something unfortunate happens, you're able to accept the reality of what happened, frame it in a positive, more life-affirming way, and then choose your response to move forward. And you can do that with peace. And Ken, I'll give you a quick example. Around 3 years ago, I was working in corporate America, had a thriving career, going very well, felt very secure. I was 2/3 of the way through writing the first draft of the wellness ethics. So life was good. Then I had that meeting with my manager that you dread, didn't see it coming, but I was laid off. And then I'm thinking, oh, wow, what do I do here? But literally within 5 minutes of that happening, I talked to my wife and we had decided, you know something, I'm going to take a 2-year sabbatical from corporate America and I'm going to focus full time on finishing my book and getting it published and then launching a life coaching business and see if that gets traction. And if not, then I'll go back to corporate America. And yeah, financial risk, but we had a sense we could do it. But there was that all-knowing calmness within me and within my wife, because we had been applying, you know, the lessons from the wellness ethic, that we could take that curveball in life that could be devastating and think within 5 minutes, I've got this. I've got a path forward that aligns to my life purpose, aligns to my spirit, my passions, and I'm going to take that risk, a calculated risk, and really go after my dream. That's what having a solid foundation around mind, body, and spirit and that positive energy, and then having the tools to be able to choose your response to the chaos, that's how you thrive even when everything around you is chaotic.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really like what you're saying there. And, you know, for some people, I think it's a, you know, we're coming towards the end of the year, right? And, you know, we're going to have basically 3 months left in the year here. So, you know, for some of you that are listening here to Mark, and I really want to encourage you to connect with him, connect with his book. It's time for a reset. It's time to reset your thinking. Maybe some of your habits like he talked about. Maybe get clear with what it is that you want to bring into the next phase of your life, or even into the next new year. Again, we got, you know, basically 90 days in the next, you know, starting in October. So I think there's a lot that we need to do here, right? That you can do here. So Mark, I want to ask you this, you know, with relation to that, right? Maybe a reset for my audience, right? How can they go from, let's say they're in a chaotic place, lots of things going on, you're going 90 miles an hour, you're going from here to there, you're feeling overwhelmed, you don't have time to really take care of yourself, is in your mindset. How do they go from chaos to clarity to building new habits, new ways of showing up?
Yeah, and I deal with that in the book a lot. Because that usually does trip people up and why they may never get started or abandoned very soon after. So for me, I would start with why. Why does this matter? Why do you want to be healthier? Why do you want to be happier? Why do you want to be able to control more of your life and the direction it goes in rather than be victim to the chaos all around you? And really connect with that. That may be for your own personal fulfillment. It may be to serve as an example for your family, your children, to help them thrive. You could have 100 different reasons, but really zero in on that, because that's going to serve as your inspiration and your motivation. And then take stock of your life, the realities of it, what's working, what may not be working so well. And the Wellness Ethic book will guide you along those lines, and then keep it simple. Choose one area that you can get some quick wins and get some good in your life and build a foundation. So it may simply be if you're not as healthy as you'd like to be and you don't have time to exercise, well, just start with a 30-minute walk around your neighborhood. Heck, make it 10 minutes. Just start the routine. Then the next day, do the same thing. If you forget the third day, make sure you do it the fourth day. Begin a streak and build up to that 30 minutes of exercise. And pretty soon what you'll find is you'll be looking forward to the reward of getting out in nature, even if it's just around your neighborhood, and getting your heart pumping. You're going to feel that positive energy, and you're not going to feel right if you revert back to the old ways of not exercising. And then once you got that habit down, what is the next thing that you can start to work on? It may be eating better. So start working on that. Work on your nutrition. You know, cut out ultra-processed foods. Take a step-by-step approach to that. Maybe you sign up for an app that's going to help you with the motivation and tracking. Whatever it takes, and again, the book will offer probably like dozens of ideas on how you can start moving forward in the direction of healthier living.
Yeah.
So it's things along those lines.
Yeah, that's really great. You know, a lot of people want to do what you just said, right? And yet they get stopped. And I really want to take a deep dive into why people get stuck and they don't accomplish those things they want to do. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to discuss that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'll be right back with my guest in just a moment, but I want to mention to you that, you know, part of why we do these shows is so that you can pass them on to family and friends and share them with people you care about so that we can all upshift our consciousness, live better, live happier, and feel more fulfilled and vibrant. So I encourage you to go over to my YouTube channel today. Go to YouTube, just go to youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, and subscribe. All right. So Mark, let's, you know, a lot of people want to do this, but they get stuck. You know, they want to change, but they don't change. What blocks people from change? What stops them from change?
It could be almost anything. It could be that you don't have the inspiration. So you didn't really think, why do you want to do this? You may not have your environment positioning you for success. So if you wanted to eat better, lose weight, but you have junk food in the cupboard, and that's going to draw you in, you may not have the tools and techniques on how do you truly adopt lasting change. You may have a difficult time letting go of the past and understanding that a change is a transition from the old new you to the new you, and how do you navigate that process? At the first sign of trouble, you may give up. So in the Wellness Ethic book, I devote a lot of time early on how do you adopt change in your life that will last. So when you're learning about how to be healthier in mind, body, spirit, relationships, and so on, you're going to have the tools and techniques to be able to bring lasting change in your life that truly does stand the test of time. So for instance, just to give you two examples of good change adoption techniques, one would be to seek support. It may be letting your family know that I want to begin exercising or I want to eat better. So please help me keep temptation away. Sign up with me for an exercise class, and you're going to be my exercise buddy, and we're going to motivate each other to do it. You may sign up with a fitness trainer or a life coach, someone who's going to be there to help you on this journey to adopting change. So aligning support is a very effective technique. Another one that's provocative is what I call being audacious with your accountability. So let's say you wanted to quit smoking and you've struggled for years doing it. Imagine if you had a plan, but then you told your children, you know something, I'm going to give you a paycheck out of my own pocket, or you tell a friend that, and I'm going to pay you if I'm not successful adopting this change. That audaciousness is going to be very compelling for you. Or if you want to establish an exercise habit, you tell your best friend, if I don't meet my exercise goals this week of going 3 times to the gym or going for that 30-minute walk 5 times this week, I'm going to take you out to dinner at your favorite restaurant. And I'm going to do that every single week I miss that goal. I bet you're going to hit that goal. So those are just two simple techniques that are very effective. Have fun with it.
Yeah, I really like that. You know, I also think that it does take courage to sit down and really ask for what you want and then start to go into the unknown, because a lot of, you know, you don't know the journey, right? You go, well, this is the journey I'm going to take. I want to lose 25 pounds. Okay, this is the journey. It takes courage to get on that journey. First of all, to ask for what you want, like to, you know, what you were just saying, maybe ask a loved one to support you, or maybe call Mark and say, hey, Mark, can you coach me? It takes courage to do that. And then the next step, of course, is walking into the unknown and being able to do this on a consistent basis. Seems to me like that support piece is so big, Mark. What have you found around that?
Without a doubt. Again, whether it's coaching with friend or it's something online, there are plenty of people who have paved the way, who have overcome the challenges that you're trying to overcome. There's no challenge that you have that someone hasn't overcome. Yeah. Learn from that. Seek that support, that camaraderie, because when two people are in it together, you lift each other up. And they can help you overcome those barriers. They can lift you up when you don't feel motivated. They can be an accountability partner. So support, whether it's a person or reading a book or watching a video online, surround yourself with success, and that will help lift you up. That's definitely a critical tool.
Well, and I think the first piece here, maybe we're going to, you know, piece I'm thinking about is we really have to get honest with ourselves. And honest with ourselves, like I use when you come into a work with me, and I'm sure Mark uses something similar to this, we just assess where you are. And you can do this right now on this show. You can ask yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is dismal, 10 is outstanding. Where am I in my health? Where am I in my fitness? Where am I in my relationship with my wife or my significant other? Where am I in my career? Where am I in my finances? You know, you can just go down the list and start to think of yourself, the list meaning the most important areas of your life, and think to yourself, get really honest with yourself, you know, where you are. So once you assess where you are, then you can say, all right, now I'm going to get on this. I'm going to release whatever blocks or whatever limitations I have that I think I have. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get rid of those limitations. And I'm going to get on the program, you know, to do whatever it takes, right, to get myself back to where I want to go. What's your thought on that?
Oh, it's interesting you give that example, because in the beginning of my book, I have you do that. I'll have a chart, mind, body, spirit, relationships, personal and professional pursuits, lifestyle maintenance. And how are you performing? Scale of 1 to 10, have fun with it. Fill it out. But then, very importantly, where do you want to be? Scale of 1 to 10, subtract the 2, and that starts to reveal the big gap. So for myself, lifestyle maintenance, yeah, it's maybe a 7 or an 8. It's not a 10 for me. And I'm doing pretty good, 7 or 8. So I'm not going to really focus too much on that. But when I started writing the book and I filled that out around mind and happiness, probably a 6. Where do I want to be? That's got to be a 10. Same with spirituality and body. Those are the three big areas. I was doing pretty good with body, not so well with mind and spirit. So then throughout the book, that gives you a compass of areas to really hone in on. But at the end of each chapter, so I'll have a chapter on mind, body, a separate one on spirit, and all the wellness ethic components. I'll have very simple and fun exercises at the end that are optional, but it'll ask you to take what you learned by reading that chapter, let's say on mind, and think, where could I improve? What techniques could I adopt a habit around, whether it's mindfully engaging in your surroundings or starting to feel more grateful for your good fortune? Because the more you remind yourself of that, you realize, yeah, my life probably isn't too bad. There's a lot to be thankful for, and I can always make it better, and that's going to be fun. But identify an area or two, keep it simple, that you want to take a step forward. So throughout the book, you're taking these tiny little steps. You're seeing some good coming your way, and you're realizing, I can actually adopt change in my life. And then you want more of it. And that's how you start building momentum and how you start thriving in life.
You know, what I found is that it's like the first 3 days. You know, the first 3 days are hard. Like, I don't know, if you've ever gone on a fast, which I do, for the last 30 years, I'm a faster. I'll do that. First 3 days are tough. If I want to get back in, you know, I get out of shape for a while and I want to get back to the gym, the first 3 days are hard. You know, if I want to, start eating, first 3 days are hard. But it's that once you get past that hump, then it seems to get easier. Have you experienced that yourself, Marvin?
Without a doubt. And I gear the book towards reinforcing that point and giving you basic tools to overcome that. So one way is, you know, getting support, because that person will help you be motivated. Secondly, is just the awareness, like you articulated, that the first 3 days, first week, until you establish a habit, that's going to be hard. You're going to have to be very intentional. Like right now, because I've gone on my what is now a 4 mile hour long walk every morning, I start at around 4:30 in the morning. I've been doing that for 20 years. I don't even think twice about it. I just do it. It's who I am. But to develop that habit took a lot of work. So it may be techniques like tracking it in an app or a calendar, checking off. Everyone loves checking off something that you started a streak. It may be the first week, if you're successful, you give yourself a reward that you're looking forward to. Make it fun. Or you have that audacious accountability that you have a penalty. That could be fun as well, but that you have to pay someone. The point is, there's a lot of techniques, Ken, that can get you over that hump, that really difficult first 3 days.
Absolutely, man. All right, listen, I'm going to take another break. When we come back, I want to talk about the difference, or how we get to fulfillment versus busyness. Because listen, I know a lot of you out there are just busy, 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 busy. But are you fulfilled? All right, we're going to address that when we get back. We'll take a quick break. Well, welcome back, everybody. It's your host, Ken D. Foster. And we are talking about Mark's latest book, his new book, The Wellness Ethic. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there, Mark, that are busy. Let's just face it, they just are, right? We're busy. But, you know, There's busyness, and then there's busy, and there's there's busyness, and then there's people that are running around, you know, all the time, just doing things. My question is to you, my audience, is why do you stay so busy? Why? Because what we can do is we can shift from being busy to being fulfilled. And that's a shift. I know Mark talks about that in his book. But fulfillment, when you have a sense of fulfillment, everybody that I've ever met or coached with that is fulfilled, they set up intentions or set up goals. They move through the difficulties to get to that goal. They were very clear with why they were doing it, what their purpose was. And they did what they needed to do to get there. And why did they do it? Because at the other end, they felt fulfilled. They felt a sense of completion, a sense of accomplishment. What's your hit on that, Mark?
There's a couple really important concepts that go into positioning yourself for fulfillment. You know, I talk about gratitude, that's very important. Knowing your life purpose, what you're really passionate about in life and moving in that direction is also, you know, very critical. So fulfillment is a deep level of satisfaction. It requires being intentional with how you live your life, controlling what you can to the best of your ability. So to give you an example, if you've got a corporate career, and I've gone through it for, you know, 30 years, where the nature of the job, it could be in financial services or whatever it is, maybe that doesn't fulfill you by definition. But what can you find in that work that truly does fulfill you? It may be accomplishing something great, getting it across the finish line. For me, I always found fulfillment in leading teams and helping them grow, be successful, and have thriving careers. I was always energized by that because that aligned to my life purpose, which has always been that I exist to help people be happy and successful. So it's knowing yourself and aligning your life to what truly gives you that deep satisfaction and taking those important moments and being grateful and really feeling it. You could be fulfilled through your relationships, having loving relationships. So you nurture those relationships. So all those opportunities, I'll write about in the book and help you to position yourself and then to actually feel that fulfillment with what you do, to try to take as much control of your life that you can.
I love that. Well, listen, the book is The Wellness Ethic, and I encourage you, my audience, to go and get it. This book will support you in getting fulfilling your dreams and being able to take your life to the next level. Mark, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate you joining us today.
No, I enjoyed it. Thank you, Ken.
Take care. And all of you, I want to thank you for joining us. Again, we hope you'll pass the show on to those that you love and people that you care about. And, you know, you can truly heal anything if you are willing to shift your thinking, step into what's possible, and be able to take daily steps to be able to, the daily courageous steps that it takes to heal. Take care. Talk to you next time.